Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Welcome to Hey, Jeff. One second to last time.
Yeah.
For a little bit.
I know.
A podcast about the Hey, Jeff. A podcast about Survivor and Big Brother.
And Big Brother. And other things going on.
Danielle, how are you?
How's your weekend? I'm doing well. So it's a long weekend in Toronto, in Ontario. It's Queen Victoria Day on Monday.
She died.
I know, but we still honor her every year by taking a day off work and barbecuing, setting off fireworks.
See, this is in the history of the pod. This is like, so we have Memorial Day coming up next week.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this like a similar thing where it's like, it's Thanksgiving in America. So Thursday and Friday is like King's Day or something.
The thing is that there's no overlap. Because it's always May 2-4 for us. Whereas I think Memorial Day, isn't that just always the last Monday of May?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think ours bops around, but It's great because so I get tomorrow off and then next Monday, the people on the US side of my work have off. So it's sort of like two short weeks in a row, sort of.
If you can live in a Western country that has a lot of overlap with the US, but not America. You live in England, you live in Canada, you live in Australia, but you interface a lot with like American people. You want that because you get your own holidays, plus you basically get all the US holidays.
Yeah, like Juneteenth, I'm not going to be doing that much work because they're not. They have it as a holiday. But really you want to be in London. I mean, you got to get those English bank holidays, the bank holidays.
Wait, hold on, what?
If you live in England,
the bank is just like, no money today, mate.
Yes. The bank says, we ain't coming in. And so everyone else is like, it's only good. Let's go to the pub. Like, no work for us.
Let's have some beef. Let's have some steamed meat.
Yeah. So they really have their finger on the pulse. I mean, that's as far as like official holiday countries. You want England. Anywhere else in Europe, I don't think it's official days off, but it's like, you know, no one works in the summer. It's just sort of like a known thing. You don't say it officially, but it's like, and everyone takes a siesta. And it's like, if you're sick, you actually don't go into work and all this stuff. It's great.
In the US, we have the thing of like summer Fridays, which like makes a lot of sense on the East Coast. Like East Coast people are like, I gotta have my summer.
Oh yeah.
I don't have a beer in my hand and I'm not in the Hamptons or Poughkeepsie. Yes.
Oh my God.
By 5 p.m. on Friday, I am quitting.
Yeah.
And then, but like people on the West Coast don't even know about that. So like my company enacts this, but people on the West Coast are still very confused. Half of them are like, why?
Why don't you go to the beach?
And then the other half are just like, I don't work Fridays anyways or whatever.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, I would go to the beach, bring my little blankie, my little umbrally.
A lot to talk about today.
Yeah. And if I'm a little slow, let me just tie it back to that. It's a long weekend. And yesterday I threw my first like party, but with babies invited, which was a lot of fun. So much fun. But I was saying to Brett before we start recording, I used to throw big parties every year in Brooklyn for like around the holiday season. And I would make a very dangerous punch. I would get extremely lit, like so drunk. And I would just make, you know, we were like hostess and host with the mostest. And I tried to do that here, but I can't imbibe the way I used to. So I had maybe like 3.5 glasses of wine throughout the whole party. And today I'm like, where am I? I'm feeling a little worse for wear. So I
said this to you. I need you to explain this scenario to me because having a party full of 18 months old is not something I'm ever going to experience in my life.
Well, what you do is we had ours on the roof and I just made it two separate areas. There's the kids area and the adults area. Sometimes there was crossing of the areas.
You gotta have an eye, right? Yeah,
but there's visibility.
Especially in a roof situation.
Yeah, but it's like, they're not going to climb off. They're too small still and weak. They can't climb up the roof. But we got this like, this is the hottest thing you can have at a baby's party. It's called a water table. And so trust me, all these kids were just like moss to a flame with the water table. It's just a plastic table that has water and like little duckies in it and spinny spins. And they just loved it. And they were just getting wet and like splashing around. It amused them.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Just like these little Fisher Price ones. It's just like, it's a little table play space. Yeah.
It's what you got to have.
Yeah.
It's what you got to have. And so, yeah, occasionally they'd get tired of that. They'd come over. They'd eat some of our food. But then they'd make their way. They'd migrate back. Because the thing with kids at this age, too, is they only want something when they see another baby has it. So if another kid went back and suddenly was playing with a little bucket, suddenly they all were like, oh, I want that bucket. So it was good. It worked out pretty well.
Are you exhausted today from the 3.5 glasses of wine or the stress? Okay. I was going to say like the stress of having like 10 2-year-olds around and stuff.
It wasn't
like,
even. It was four. It's four of them. But so that's, you know, everyone's got a set of parents. It's a lot of, it's a lot.
A lot of numbers though. You have a huge numbers advantage.
Yes.
Eight to four, possibly. Maybe more if there's a grandma involved.
There wasn't, but
maybe less
that's
if there's been a tragedy.
Yes, very tragic. But luckily, that has not afflicted any of us. So we did well. We had a great time. Like I said, the party ended at like 6:45 because everyone has to go home and get their kids to bed.
Good.
I know, but I'm still like, I got a full 8 hours last night, and I'm still like, brain is not functioning the way it used to.
So you're not going
to
be we'll talk about Survivor later. You're not going to be a wine mom? Or are you like,
well, that actually went through my head last night because I was still kind of drunk as I went to bed. And keep in mind, 3.5, maybe it was 4 glasses. But like,
keep in mind, I stopped drinking at 6 p.m.
But I was still pretty lit. And as I went to sleep, I was like, oh God, I can't become a wine mom. That's too embarrassing for my child, for myself. I really don't want to become a wine mom. So maybe next time I'll do beer.
I will say you're a mom, you're hosting kids' parties, you're having, you know,
water
three
tables.
To 10 glasses of Chardonnay.
That's rosé.
I'm in my internal youth era, i.e. max responsibilities / no responsibilities. A week and a half ago, maybe 2.5 weeks ago, on a Wednesday, the Los Angeles Dodgers were playing a game at 1 p.m. on a Wednesday, mind you.
Nope. Yes.
The matinee, the weekday matinee. So me,
classic baseball friends, time.
Yeah. So me and a few friends said, let's all take the day off work. And we did such a thing. It was organized. Oh. I wasn't ditching. I was like, fuck you. I was like, hello, fellow business leaders. I will be out of office.
Please grant me this wish.
Yeah, whatever. But we went to a baseball game on a Wednesday, and the goal was to get as drunk as possible on a Wednesday.
Wow. Yeah. You know, at the stadium?
I don't do this.
What? Miller Lights?
Danny, we were at a bar across the street from the stadium at 10 a.m.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow, the bar opens at 10?
Yeah, this bar does. Well, it's right across. It's like, Dodger Stadium is not across the street from anything. It's on a hill that overlooks all of Los Angeles and cannot be touched with regular human transportation methods. Okay. They're building a fucking gondola to the stadium, which is a horrible idea for many reasons. Anyways, so it's like up a hill or whatever. But anyways, at the bottom of the hill, Sunset Boulevard. You heard of it?
I've heard of it.
Sheryl Crow probably sings a song about it. Santa Monica Boulevard, never mind. There's a bar. There's a number of bars. Sunset Boulevard. There's tons of bars in Sunset. So there was a bar that was open at 10 a.m. and they had tater tots and refreshments, alcoholic refreshments.
Delicious.
For sale. Just give them
a
credit
card. So
what
do you start drinking at 10 a.m.?
Beer. It was a beer all day situation.
I can't. You got to start with a Bloody Mary or something.
But to your point, Danielle.
Yes.
We'll talk about Survivor eventually.
There's not that. I want to talk about this.
To your point. Okay, yeah, that's fine. To your point, game's over at 4 p.m. And I was probably drunk until 8 p.m. And I have never felt so bad. I felt so physically awful.
Yeah.
It was unbearable. And I certainly went harder than the 3.5 glasses of wine. than you. There was considerable walking involved. There might have been a replica helmet full of nachos.
Ooh, yeah, it's so important to eat good food.
But to your point, that night, that evening, I was like, I could not feel worse right now. I feel like I'm dying on a battlefield.
Yeah. And it's mentally hard because you know the next day you're probably going to feel just as bad, if not worse.
I felt horrible. I felt horrible. And I had to go to my job.
But let me ask you something sick, disgusting. Was the next day, once it started to wear off, was a small part of you like, I should go get a beer tonight? What am I going to do tonight?
I mean, I say, what am I going to do tonight? Literally every night of my life. Because my entire life right now consists of watching the basketball playoffs while either swiping on dating apps or playing a mobile game called Slay the Spire. So that is my life at the moment. Got really into that last night again. Oh, also playing Zelda. So
basketball.
Your face is
the Raptors in it?
Poor boy. No.
Well, it's because I'm thinking about basketball.
The Leafs and the Raptors, are gone.
Oh, wow. But the Blue Jays are still in it.
Yep, they're still in it because they do not eliminate people in May in baseball. Because
it just started. Yeah. Okay, do we dare discuss? Oh, yes.
No, we can talk about more pressing things. We can talk about some Survivor news and some Big Brother news. That's what people are here for.
I agree. Well, first of all, I'd just like to say all of the Big Brother news that we've been receiving, and thank you to everyone in our Discord. If you're not in our Discord, you got to join it because that's where all the hottest.
The link is in the podcast description.
Exactly. Join it ASAP, especially be there first, you know, before Big Brother really starts this year. But that goes into one of the rumors, which is that Big Brother is going to start very late this year.
Yeah, there's conflicting reports. I don't know if I totally believe it. Well, a couple things happened. Big Brother 25 ads have started. They do not have a date on them. I would say, have you seen these ads, Danielle?
No, they haven't played on
my. There is a very classic tenor to them. There is, it's like very, it's blue and gold. It's like you're watching the Emmys on CBS. It's like very kind of classic, like there's a history here, and they show Taylor, they show like lots of winners and people over the history. There's like a very much like golden envelope sort of vibe to these ads. Right. And it's like, you spent 25 years, like have another summer of fun. And it's like, but it's like important. It's not get the floaties, motherfuckers, go in the pool and we're fighting, which is sometimes what those ads are like. So it was a very classic sort of ad, and it was Big Brother 25 starting this summer, coming soon. And then two things happen. There's reports that the season won't start until August and will go until November,
which is so crazy. But I don't know whose idea this is because we need this now.
I don't totally believe it. I don't totally believe it. But then there was something that I do believe a little bit more, which was, and this ties into our next topic a little bit, Survivor 45 just wrapped shooting.
Right.
And there was some sort of roughly proposed, roughly leaked broadcast start date for that of like October 20th or something like that. And someone did some mapping out of like, well, if Big Brother starts in July, it would end on October 13th. And then the following Wednesday would be the start of the new Survivor. So which is still kind of a later start if it's starting in July, though I do believe the last few seasons that it has started.
Last season started in July.
Yeah. Like I remember last season, we didn't have 4th of July. Like 4th of July is always kind of a fun, weird wrinkle in the Big Brother season, especially as we get to the end and like everyone's trying to remember what days things happen on. And then there was the week that 4th of July happened and we did the veto on a Tuesday for some reason. But anyways, I think I believe that one more. It seems to make more sense. I don't necessarily know why CBS would like go really into late summer, fall / go up against football and stuff on Sundays, on Thursdays.
It might be all they got. That's why.
I know, yeah. Yeah. I'm a little bit confused about that. People are upset. Nothing's official though, but that's kind of what's going on.
Yeah. We should say like the reasoning, at least that I've seen, is that as everyone knows, WGA is on strike. They've been on strike for what? Like a month now?
Probably a little bit less, actually. A
couple weeks.
But that's going to go all summer. That's going to go all summer for multiple months.
Yeah, it's going to keep going, which is going to start delaying any... Like, I saw... What is Abbott Elementary on? ABC?
ABC.
ABC released their fall schedule, and it's entirely, like, non-scripted game show, clip show, and reruns of Abbott Elementary. So
watch Dwayne Wade play tic-tac-toe.
Pretty much.
Versus every member of the Florida legislature.
Yes. So that's what they're dealing with. It's all going to start affecting fall and winter regular season.
Oh, so they're trying to get into, they don't even care about summer programming.
Right.
They'll just play Avenger movies on Thursday nights on ABC. Yeah.
Well, Paramount Plus.
New sports.
Yeah.
And, oh, so they're worried about the fall and they're like, oh shit, we don't have a new Chicago. The good doctor is nowhere to be found. Not so good after all.
Exactly. So let's push one of our stalwarts, one of our always a hit in the summer. It has at least a little bit of an audience. So let's just push it to the fall a little bit.
7 to 10 people.
Two of them are Brett and
Julie. Eight of them listen to Hey Julie.
But so that's what I think the reasoning is. So that's what made me think, okay, actually that might be possible.
That I didn't think about
August
that.
August is so crazy.
Well, first of all, a lot of troubling things. One, Big Brother's not happening during our birthday. We have an early August. Both of us have early August birthdays. And it's kind of like a tradition.
And it's kind of like our birthdays.
If we don't get to watch Big Brother on our birthday, then like, is it our birthday?
Like, we need to write a letter to CBS.
Please. Remember when like they were canceling Chuck or stupid shows like in 2003 or whatever? And it's like, everyone send rubber ducks to Les Moonves. To be like, we want Chuck. Send ducks for Chuck. And like Pushing Daisies was canceled. And they're like, let's all send coffins to the head of NBC or whatever. I don't know. We need those.
Yes, we need to rally the troops.
Not just like bring back Big Brother, bring it back before, say, August 1st for Brett and Danny's birthdays.
Yeah. So, Hey Julie listeners, you know what we need to do. We just need to make sure it's on before our birthdays. Because if it's anything like last year, it was like pure heaven to be just at home watching Big Brother, like not in the office, work from home, having Big Brother on the TV in the background. And not only that, but such a great season. Like that's what we need again this summer. It wouldn't be the same in the fall.
Yeah, like, haven't we done that with, well, actually, the best season ever occurred in the fall.
That's true, BBOTT.
Halloween brings out the spookiness in people.
Maybe that's what's going to premiere in August.
You guys do two seasons of Survivor back to back. Just do a season of Big Brother now. And then on like September 24th, just be like, we got another 25 weirdos.
Do a season that overlaps.
Yeah.
So it's like just when you think you're at the final four, here comes in another cast of 18 and you have to beat them now.
King of the Ring. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh. Ooh. Why don't they hire us?
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know.
That'd be so fun. People in our Discord are also discovering BBOTT, and I just am loving the memories. I think it's Spicy Marco who's watching it, but it's so great to be reminded of the best season ever.
People are like, what is this Chrissy woman doing? Like, yeah, we know. It's the best.
Have you heard any other Big Brother specific rumors?
No.
That's
it was just
one.
About the dates. Just about the dates. So there was some Survivor goss this week as well.
Yeah.
So they just wrapped shooting 45 in the islands of Fiji. And basically the cast was confirmed. This is not like an official release from CBS. but it seems that we have a confirmed. I'm not going to go through all these people. Mm-hmm. I do have two items of note. One is that Bruce, famously of smashing his head into a 2x4 and being so fucking concussed that the doctors were like, "You're fine." Oh, wait, you're dying? Please get off the island.
Well, that's the one. But I think Bruce is who I thought you said died.
No. Yes. No, but it was from that thing of like, they have these little ads that are like, you want to have fun in the sun? Sign up for Survivor. And they showed the clip of him. It was like right up to the frame when like he smashes his head open and like is like having a severe brain injury for like 48 hours. And the doctors are like, we don't know. Don't know anything about him, really.
He's fine. In fact, he can do Survivor again. So yes, that and then.
Good for him. We liked Bruce. We liked Bruce in the pregame.
Yeah.
But the question is, so they just finished shooting it, which means they only started shooting it about a month ago. Survivor 44 has been on for, it's 13 weeks long. It's been on for, it's about to finish its third month here with the finale this week. Do the contestants of 45 know that Bruce is a returnee? Granted, he's only was only on for like 36 hours, but like, do they know?
Maybe they tell him. I feel like Survivor's like trading on honesty and values and integrity. So maybe.
If I were Bruce, I would say, don't let anyone know.
Yeah, that's not his choice.
Anyone to know. Everyone's going to say, everyone's going to use that against him. Bruce already had his chance.
Yeah. But
he was the one who smashed his head against. I wouldn't have done that. That was his choice to smash his head against the wood.
Yeah, but then he'd pull the, like, this is my final, like, I got severely concussed. This is my final chance. And the way Survivor is played now, none of them would be like, who cares? They'd be like, wow, his story is so moving. No, please, I respect him. Let's sit in our prayer circle.
I don't win Survivor. I can't afford this kidney surgery, but you go.
Yeah, exactly.
No, yeah. We need haters. We need haters on Survivor.
I know. I agree. We need more haters.
I love Bruce, and I'll be rooting for him. But I also want people to be like, fuck Bruce. He had his chance.
Yeah, not me. I don't want me to be the hater, but I want others to hate me. Yeah, exactly. So that'll be fun. And that's not until October. I just feel like it's been nonstop Survivor for so long. Like, this podcast is pretty much about Survivor at this point.
This podcast is about water tables.
Okay. Speaking of this episode of Survivor, brought to you by The Sanctuary.
Yeah. I want to talk about The Sanctuary. Do you?
Yes.
I know times are hard.
Yeah.
I know inflation is hitting everybody. You can't find another place to take people other than a gazebo you built.
Well, I thought
20 feet away.
The shot that I thought was so revealing was it shows the three of them sitting in their little lounge chairs. And the classic thing you should see in the wide is their feet should be in warm little buckets of water with like little flower petals strewn about. And maybe they're bubbling. Maybe there's like a bubble factor, you know, like you're getting a pedicure. No such thing. They just looked
a pedicure, so.
You've never had a pedicure. Well, it's very comfy and relaxing.
I'm sure.
There was no, it wasn't luxurious enough.
Sure, it was like a little plastic tub.
They didn't even have the tub is what I'm saying.
So they were just getting a,
they're just sitting there.
My language, raw foot massage.
Yes. They're just sitting there. We didn't even see the massage. So we don't know.
This is fucked up.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Where's Applebee's? Where's Outback? Where's like,
did they lose
we're
their
taking
sponsor?
You to a spa. We're taking you to a temple. Like,
I don't know.
It's like, we take you to a gazebo and we give you iced tea. Come on.
I know. It was a dud.
Anyone could put some leaves in water and be like, oh, here's iced tea.
And like a BLT.
I love iced tea, but like, come on. That's not.
I also noticed when they were grazing on the servings at the sanctuary that Jam Jam like looked at the fruit bowl and daintily picked out like two or three pieces. So I was like, oh my God, the fruit probably was rotten or gross. Cause if you're that hungry, he was talking about how hungry he was, how excited he was to eat. Yeah. And then he was just like, I'll take this one. Like he was very, very, I don't even want to say picky. Cause I'm like, if he was picking it like that, the fruit probably didn't look that good.
Not to mention the fact that, like, every time they do one of these rewards things, they show the best possible shot of the food. And even then, there's always flies. Yeah. They're like, we need 1 second of a close-up of this sandwich, and they cannot find a single second we're at without flies or whatever.
Yeah.
Flies are there. At the same time, don't they have like mangoes or whatever at
camp? Papaya.
Maybe he's sick of fruit. Maybe he's like, I've literally only been eating unseasoned white rice and like pre-ripe mangoes for 20 days. I need me a turkey sandwich.
Yeah, the sandwich looked okay.
But again, I don't want a sandwich. I don't want a sandwich, even though I haven't eaten for 20 days. I mean, I do like a sandwich. What? A blooming onion.
Yeah, exactly. I actually thought that Jam Jam was coming for Jeff's job because the way he was saying things, chicken sandwich, like the way he was announcing the food that he was going to eat sounded very Jeff-esque. And then Carolyn asked for them to burp into her mouth.
No.
Which is a new thing. That's a new thing. I am so wrong. I am so wrong. Danny was wrong. I thought for sure we'd lose Carolyn or Jam Jam by now. One of them before final five.
So that's kind of the main like topic, I think, for this episode was like, they really were like, they knew. They knew that they had something special in their hands with Carolyn, right?
Yeah.
And they have for weeks. And this entire episode was like, say goodbye to Carolyn, y'all. This is it. This is the furthest she can go. Everyone's got their knives out for her. Carolyn even says, I'm scared. Is this my goodbye speech?
Well, Jam Jam made it seem like he was like, if I'm sitting on the couch, you got to go with your brain, not with your heart. Like he had this whole sick camera thing.
I'm just really kind of just confused about how this whole thing shook out. Was Carolyn actually in danger? Was Jam Jam really this on the fence about it?
I guess we'll never know.
I mean, he sort of was acting the entire time, especially through the tribal, like, I'm voting out Carolyn. He doesn't even look at her. She's kind of like looking at him like, talk to me. And he's giving her very weird body language, like sort of, I'm sorry, it's you body language. And I don't like, hey, am I happy that Carolyn is here and probably one of my least favorite players, Jamie, was finally voted out? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'm satisfied. Yeah.
Brett was right. I didn't think Jamie was a very good player. But I don't know. I just thought the episode was weird. I didn't like feeling the entire time like I was saying goodbye to Carolyn only for her to like stay. It was like, it should have been relieving. And I honestly felt like Carolyn. I was like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah. And they're never going to get rid of Carson. How are they? They should get rid of him.
At this point, I do believe that unless something weird happens, you know, obviously, like,
well, Lauren keeps
comes down to making fire or whatever. It comes down to some of these, you know, these challenges. Only one person wins and there's four people left. Like,
I think Lauren's going to win her way to the end.
Exactly. It definitely could be Lauren or Heidi in the end. I mean, at this point, I think everyone has a shot, especially Lauren's won her second immunity. Why not all three purples in the end? Why not?
Three purples. Three purple. Purple hearts, you know? Purple to the end.
They gave something for their country.
They did.
They were critically wounded.
Did you like the ball competition? Like the person inside the ball?
Yeah, I thought it was funny because
Carolyn just let go.
When Carolyn gets lost, like you just see the like who's in what in which one. I'm like, okay, well, obviously the one with Carson is winning because the other three, like this is not happening with the other three.
And I have to say, even though every single week I've been like, there's too many people, how are there still so many people? During that competition when they were just two balls, I was like, oh, there aren't that many people left. Nope. Finally.
Horrible news. Driver's over this week.
Next week. So not to go in circles, But I do need a little help from our listeners, from our Discord friends, because I really want to start more rumors on Twitter about Big Brother. But I need some help because I feel like all the good ideas have been done already, which is like, when's it going to start airing? And then like disappointing people to have back are being rumored as like returning.
Yeah, bad or weird themes.
Yeah. Bad or weird. I did the themes already. But I really want to stir the pot.
Weird twists. What about weird twists? What about like, oh, we've leaked a twist, and then you make up a twist. It's like,
okay, yeah, twists are really good.
The and urn then, of
the what?
Destiny.
Oh yes, and I really want to start a rumor that Julie's fired, and like, who's the replacement going to be?
You can do like alternate streaming platforms or alternate like days of the week.
I love that.
It's actually going to be Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday.
Yes, I love that.
Evictions will be live at 11 a.m. on Saturdays.
That would be so great for me.
Oh, yeah. Right before the party starts.
Yeah, exactly. You can get it in. Wait, and then was it you that, or someone commented like, is Zingbot AI going to be AI scripted? Like, doesn't Zingbot have a writer? So won't the writer's strike affect Zingbot?
Yeah. And then like, I know the SAG has authorized a strike.
Oh yeah. They're going to be
Chris
Joseph.
Chris Joseph is union, baby. He's union.
He's union strong. He is
and
not
if he's
a bootlicker.
Not in SAG, I assure you, just looking at Chris DeJoseph, that he comes from a long line of unionized steelworkers in the Pittsburgh area.
You don't think Chris DeJoseph is a little scab? Cross that picket line.
Oh, that would be so great.
He's like,
sorry, the Succession finale cannot be aired in its entirety tonight. The role of Greg will be played by Chris DeJoseph.
Or it's like he's just such a, like, he's just so committed to his craft that, like, playing the screaming grandma.
/ screaming alien.
Whatever it is. It just like calls him. No union is stronger than his desire to play that role, which he has perfected.
I'm non-union. I'm available.
Yeah. Bring in Brett. This is your job, time to shine.
Yeah.
Your chance. I don't know. We'll see.
There's like a ton of like improv comedians in Los Angeles who not in the union. You need them to play a weird alien.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I think actually if they did, I am not in support of AI.
I am not either.
I am also really skeptical about like AI's ability to do creative tasks. In that I work on the internet all day long. Danielle, I believe you do as well.
I do.
I would like to see AI correctly transcribe one video correctly, one 2-minute video without any spelling errors.
Mm.
Or grammatical errors.
Or misheard words.
Or misheard words once. Mm-hmm. Let's just like not be like, whatever. AI will fire me in 20 years. But like, I'd like to see one video get transcribed on the internet by AI, which is pretty much how, the reason why every single video you watch has horrible transcription on it is because people just let AI do it and they don't even double check it. I would like to see AI do this once. So what is good about the Zingbot thing is that Zingbot is a robot and the jokes aren't even that funny to begin with. So it would be funny if AI wrote the jokes for Zingbot this year, just because it's like, I don't see like a drop off in quality happening.
No.
It might be funny for Big Brother, a show that isn't very good to begin with. I don't mind that.
I think that they are going to do something with AI because like it's the talk of the town. Big Brother loves to jump on a trend like Brochella or whatever it is. They love to jump on a trend a little bit too late.
Jump on the trend of yeah. I mean, so they might do the AI thing like maybe 10 years from now.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe they'll have NFTs this season. They'll do slurp juice.
That's my other thing with AI is that, like, there are absolutely more uses for AI than there ever were for crypto to begin with. So I do believe it's, like, not apples and oranges. But, like, literally 1 year ago, people were just screaming down everybody's throats about like, you need to buy the weird, stupid coin. I'm like, yeah. like you need to buy these digital trading cards of like LeBron James, like doing a high five. Like it's going to be worth $1 million.
Right.
This GIF.
Yeah.
Like it never was. No. So it's different. But like a year ago, all of you guys were saying the same thing about something completely stupid. So
exactly.
We Sorry need to be if I'm very, a little bit skeptical.
We need to be so skeptical. And you know who we really need to be skeptical of? Matt Damon.
Because okay. We're done. We're done with Survivor. Goodbye.
He was one of the people on the Super Bowl. And I remember very specifically being like, Matt freaking Damon, why do you need to be here? It's the same feeling I get whenever I see Kristen Bell in another commercial. I'm like, why do you need more money? You and Dax don't make enough. You have to be in this random furniture commercial. Fucking
podcasters.
Yes. Anyway, Matt Damon is in the star of the film Air. Brett and I wanted to discuss. Wait, we should do questions first before we move on.
All right. Okay. Let's, I'll look on Discord. You look on Twitter.
Oh, oops. Okay. I'll switch over Whatever. To Twitter. Because you guys, I just really prefer our Discord now
on Twitter. Oh, do you want to do – how about – do you want to switch?
No, because now I'm in Twitter.
Okay. okay. Pizky says, have you – this is a question for later. Jump for Joy asks, I'm watching Survivor Blood versus Water. Danny, how would you feel if your daughter told you she was going to vote you out?
I would be so happy because that would give me time to plot against her. If she was honest with me like that and she told me she was going to vote me out, that would give me a heads up so I could turn the tides against her. I would use it to rally everyone against her and get her voted out.
It is great in these seasons when like people turn on their relative or like when they get separated and it's like, oh, that's so good.
It's not on Blood versus Water. It's on Heroes and Villains, but it's still like maybe one of my top five Survivor moments is when Colby's brother, like it's the episode.
Yeah. This is like the family visit section. Yes. Like, and it's like the family, like the brother, the mother, help. The cousin has to help in it. It's like a pairs sort of like reward comp, but they're paired up with their sibling, with their family member.
Yeah. And so Colby's brother, who I'm going to say his name is like Dalton. I don't know. It's something. Yeah. But like Colby has been bad at every single comp. Like Colby just has lost the plot on this season. But his brother, Dalton, is not helping things. And so you see like all the other contestants with their mom, with their uncle, with their son, whoever, being like, yeah, come on, you can do it. We got this. And Colby, to his brother, is like, God damn it, Dalton.
Yeah, I think it's one of the ones, like too, where they're like, one of them has a bucket of water and then the other one, and they have to like throw the bucket of water and they have to fill up something. It's something like that, or it's like you have to catch water with your fucking hopes.
Yes.
And prayers.
Yes.
And he's so upset that he's like not going to get a banana sandwich.
Yeah, but he's yelling at his brother the whole time. This is supposed to be like a heartfelt moment. And I was just like, this is so, this is truly perfect actual reality TV. Because this is how brothers are. Brothers are like, God damn it. Why'd you steal my Nintendo remote? Like that was what we were seeing, but in Survivor competition form.
That's how I am with my brother.
Yes, that's how my brothers are. So I was just like, that's my favorite thing. We got a comment from the chat. You're voting me out? Well, I'm voting you out of my will. So funny you say that because I actually did have to make a will. I made it.
Oh, yeah.
I have to have a will. Yeah, once you have a kid, it's like very.
I have a will as well. Yeah. Everyone has. Not everyone has a will.
I didn't have one before this. But I mean,
there's not much in there.
Yeah, there's not much in mine either, but it's like, I guess, just recommended to have one. And there is an option in mine. It was like, do you want to leave anything to your dog? I was like, no, I'm good. I'll leave it all to the kid. Thanks.
So I don't know if I should just like wait, but like, what do I get?
You're gonna get such a great, it's like, remember how you got me a cameo for my birthday and I hadn't gotten you anything, and then I got you that? It's gonna be like that. Like I'm gonna die, and so then in the
upon your death something will trigger like a purchase order in the Cameo app of like, yes, Annie is dead. Yes. Here's Chris Kattan.
There's a grief note. It'll be Chris Joseph.
Hi, it's me, Chris Kattan. I'm sorry, but your friend Danielle is dead.
Here, reach out for with this grief counselor. It's going to have some tips and tricks. Okay. It's going
to
be great.
Well, I'll wait. I'll wait to be surprised. Hopefully a long time. A long time from now.
I mean, I'm sorry, Brett. I think you're going to die before me. So what did you get
that
me?
That is absolutely going to happen. That is absolutely going to happen. And also, and I don't have Danielle's
friend. What if we? Oh.
Oh, no, you're here. Okay. You're back. Okay. Go continue.
Okay. What if we both die? So my birthday is August 4th. Brett's birthday is August 5th. What if we both died at midnight going from August 4th on to August 5th? Then who gets one of the
die because no survivor is going to be on. Yeah. No, or Big Brother, whatever. Yeah. So much.
Okay. Next cue. From Skipani, good hair person on Twitter. Did y'all watch Beef on Netflix? And if so, thoughts? Well, Skipani, if you listen to our podcast, you would know, yes, I did watch Beef.
The long history of people asking us questions.
They're casual listeners the way we're casual viewers. It tracks. Yes, I watched Beef. I loved it. I loved it. I watched it all in like the span of a day.
I didn't watch it. Everyone says it's good. Every time I start watching a show on Netflix, I immediately hate it within about 15, 20 minutes, even if it comes highly recommended. So I'm a little bit nervous with this one, even though it's like the best.
Well, I'm happy I watched it. Yeah.
Of a lot of these shows. But like Danny told me to watch The Diplomat and I hated it. And
because I know you're hot for Carrie.
What was the one about the ship from the people who made Dark, which I liked? Dark, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna watch this one about the ship.
Oh, yeah, 1849,
the gold rush.
Yeah,
I watched the first episode and I hated it.
I told you to watch that.
No, I watched it on my own.
Okay,
but Netflix, I find them to make some of the worst. Like,
they start you still have your stuff. Netflix account?
No, my brother pays for it, and I have a little
Dalton. Thing. Okay, got it.
Dalton, God damn it! The Diplomat sucks.
You're messing up my algorithm.
Bisky on Discord says, "Have you guys watched any of the Roseanne comeback show? I would love to hear your thoughts." LOL. Well,
I love our question.
I don't know what. Like, this, I have so many questions now about Bisky. I have so many questions about who they are, what they are like, what they assume of us. This question opens up much more questions than the question itself. And are they talking about the Connors?
Yes.
The Roseanne reboot? Or are they talking about like Roseanne has a comedy special on like True Social or something like that right now? Where she's like, I'm going to cancel culture. Right. Being woke is being like just saying the most basic repeated like right wing like catchphrases and just like a bunch of the worst people in the world laughing at it. I don't know what she's talking about.
I just love that that's the question we get on our Big Brother and Survivor podcast. But so, no, to answer it, no, I haven't. No. I did watch Roseanne. Like, maybe not regularly, but I do remember watching it and thinking like...
OG.
She and Dan, the original show. She and Dan, played by John Goodman... had such a great relationship. Like, I remember thinking like, Dan's a great guy and that's the kind of guy you should marry, you know? So it's too bad what's happened. It's too bad.
Too bad that she has brain worms.
Yeah, they really
did. I mean, I never really watched the show. There's a channel on my YouTube TV called Comet TV. And I don't really even know what the like demo is for this. Yeah. They just play Frasier reruns and Roseanne reruns. And the demo is me because I watch Frasier reruns for sure. And then Roseanne comes on and I'm like, I don't know. I didn't really grow up with it. I didn't really grow up with watching Frasier either. Frasier is something I've discovered later in life and I love.
They're trying to have shows for each economic bracket, rich and poor.
I think, Yeah, but I think both shows are for the common person because it's making fun of how rich
the yups, like, the yuppies.
Yeah, it's like it's about what buffoons they are for like wanting to go to the opera,
even though they're so fancy, rather than caring
for their elderly father.
I don't know. I think it's appealing. I think it's appealing for the snooties too. I think the snooties are I'm like, ooh, I got that reference to I Am the Sergeant General, you know, that musical. I Am the very, what is that musical?
HMS Pinafore.
HMS Pinafore. I am the modern example of the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Guys, I'm a little hungover, so I can't remember. Yeah, modern major general.
Is it it's from Pirates of Penzance.
Sorry. Pirates of Penzance. Thank you. Anyway, it's for people who like know those lyrics. You know, as you can tell, I'm more of a Roseanne girl because I don't remember the lyrics.
I mean, there was something that was really appealing and struck a chord with that show. And this is something that like all sitcoms sort of play with and historically have gotten kind of better at is like showing. These are all like family dynamic shows, right? And they're like showing a modern contemporary family dynamic. And I will say, just to kind of sidetrack, I'll cut back to Roseanne. I don't know if you've seen the documentary Exporting Raymond with Phil Rosenthal.
He goes to Russia.
It's really good. Yeah. But it's about the Russian TV, the Russian equivalent of ABC or whatever, buys the rights to do a spinoff of Everybody Loves Raymond, and they fly Phil Rosenthal, the guy who co-created it and produced it, to Russia to like help them shoot the pilot and get it off the ground. And they just completely do not understand the idea of like a family sitcom.
Right.
And it's like the wife is always dressed up and beautiful and wearing makeup, and he's constantly being like, the point of the show is that Ray and his wife are normal people who live in where I've never even seen that show. I don't even know where they live, but like they get up in the morning and they're wearing their pajamas and they don't have makeup on and they're just making a cup of coffee because that's what normal people do. And the Russian TV people are always like, no, but she's beautiful. Like he needs to, this is on television. She needs to have beautiful wives and drive really beautiful car. And it's like, no, it's about real life. And what's funny about it is how similar it is to the viewers' lives at home. And once you start making them live in an extravagant house and have a beautiful wife and a beautiful car and like all that stuff, it's not relatable anymore, which is all to say about Roseanne. Even other sitcoms from the 50s, 60s, like there was a bit of extravagance about them. The Bradys live, even though there's 20 of them, they live in this giant house. They have a fucking living maid, all this shit.
Only one bathroom.
Only one bathroom. Yes. Marsha with her giant shit. Roseanne was like, these people have nothing. These people are, this is like what a lot of, I mean, friends, like they all fucking live in Manhattan and half of them don't even have jobs and they live in this thing. And Roseanne is out and it's like, these people.
She works at the diner.
She works at the, like, this is what, in a way, what real America is like. So there was something really brilliant about how they portrayed that with the original Roseanne show. Obviously, why are we talking about Roseanne? Roseanne's fucking psycho.
Someone asked us about
and her Roseanne. Brain is melted by right-wing crazy talking points. So much so that she has a comedy special right now and she's just shouting, as I mentioned 5 minutes earlier, she just shouts like, wear a mask.
Go
you should commercial. Wear your ass. Or whatever. Like, what the fuck?
And then we'll just while we're on the questions and comments, Pizgy is also the person who said, is Zingbot in the WGA? If so, do you think he'll scab? Will he be replaced by AI? So I incorrectly thought you brought that up, Brett. So clearly to me, I think you are Pizgy. You might
I'm
be.
Not. I'm not.
All right. Well, thank you for your questions and comments in the Discord, on Twitter. We appreciate it. Send more in. We haven't even gotten to our air review.
You transitioned like 20 minutes ago. You're like, you know what? Who wouldn't have been good on Survivor? Matt Damon. We need to talk about this movie, Danielle. I have a lot to say. We both watched the motion picture Air, directed by Ben Affleck. It is now available to stream on Prime Video.
Mm-hmm.
One of us really liked this movie and one of us really did not.
Everyone guess right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I just really enjoyed watching it. But you know why? Because Ben Affleck, And also Chris Tucker, Viola Davis. Sometimes you just want to watch people, who that guy who played the shoe designer, people who just know what they're doing in a movie. Ben Affleck walks onto set. He grabs that set by the balls and he says, I know what I'm doing. Everyone jump on board. And I don't include Matt Damon in that. I think Matt Damon is fine. But I think Ben Affleck really sells it.
I think the acting in this movie is wonderful.
It is.
Particularly Viola Davis.
She's great.
I think she's actually not in it that much. She's kind of only in like a few key scenes. And I think she kind of steals the movie. Like the movie takes on a gravity when she is air, gravity. The movie takes on a gravity that really makes it special in a few of these key scenes. Particularly, I found like the scene towards the end where she's on the phone with Matt Damon and they're almost about to not make the deal. I found that to be a really important scene. And I really liked that scene.
Yeah.
I have a real issue with based on a true story movies. Uh-huh. And they all, most of them fall into this really, really boring like writing conceit where all of the characters are so blissfully and confidently unaware of the future. And they say things like in this movie, Charles Barkley, why no one will ever want to watch Charles Barkley on television. Michael Jordan, why he's never going to be a great basketball player. John Stockton, no one knows who John Stockton is or where
I don't know who John Stockton is.
He's a very racist.
Oh.
White basketball player who's
I don't know him.
He has complete Roseanne Barr disease.
Okay.
No, but he was very, very famous in the 90s. And that was one where I was like, okay, Daniel's probably not going to know who John Stockton is. No one is like, OAN is like, John Stockton, please tell us
your thoughts. Yes.
So all sorts of movies that like take place in the past and are based on a true story do that thing. I think it is one of the most like hacky jokes ever. And this movie has a ton of those moments. And I did not like that. And I think for a movie to be based on a true story, it's really hard because a lot of the people, because you know how it's going to end and you need to create you need to create like dramatic tension in another way, or you need to show the story or tell a different story than the one that you expect. And I don't think this movie did that. The Social Network, he creates Facebook. Who cares? He creates Facebook in the like 20 minutes into the movie. Yeah. It's about the relationship and it's about the hidden relationship about someone who just wants human connection, Mark Zuckerberg, but who's actually incapable of it and destroys all of his relationships in doing so and becomes king of the world, but at the cost of doing that. And that's granted Sorkin, who we love here. Sorkin completely goes off the deep end with his based on a true story movies. He finds dramatic structure in the archetypes of the characters, and he sometimes doesn't tell a story that actually happened.
Right.
That's what he does, and I actually think he does that really successfully, because who cares about the actual like beats of what the really
results
happened?
Yeah.
Titanic. We all know the boat sinks, but they give us this really interesting melodramatic romance that takes us through this, that is about class. And it's about really universal issues and themes, and people become really attached to the characters through that, though we all know what's going to happen at the end, but we don't know what's specifically going to happen to Jack and Rose.
Right.
This is like, are we going to sign Michael? This movie is over 2 hours, and it's just people in conference rooms being like, are we going to sign Michael Jordan? I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, yeah,
I know, because I'm watching the movie in 2023. So I don't think there's really any dramatic stakes to this movie at all.
No. But there's fun characters.
I think it does a lot of like the hacky stuff, like 80s stuff. It, like, oh my God, there's a needle drop every 25 seconds in this movie. We're like, oh, they're listening to fucking Tears for Fears right now. Great. Yeah. I just thought it was really boring. And like, I wasn't interested in seeing what happened because I knew what happened. There's some great moments, particularly around Viola Davis, around
Chris Tucker too, I thought.
He was great. Yeah. All this, kind of, to be honest, where I thought this movie really excelled was like, it almost tells the story. Again, it's really focused on the white people, but it tells a really interesting story just below the surface of like Black ownership and
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Black people in this country having literally their freedom taken away from them and them reestablishing themselves post Civil War, post Jim Crow, post civil rights era of like having ownership in something again and not letting white people control the economy, control their image. Like, there is some really interesting stuff in this movie around that, particularly, sorry, spoilers of the movie. There is a scene towards the end when Jordan's about to sign with Nike and his mom calls Matt Damon and is like, yeah, we think we want to go with you guys, but we actually need to have a royalty on every shoe sold, which we're not going to do another deal. And it's about, we need to have ownership of this. This is the likeness of my son. Like, there's something really interesting and really poignant and really important about telling that story. And that kind of stuff peeks through a little bit through that movie. And I thought it was the best stuff in this movie.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's like Matt Damon eating donuts and being like,
exactly.
Tears for Fears. What?
That's the thing.
The '90s. That's never going to happen.
They couldn't, but I did appreciate they don't show Michael Jordan in the movie except in clips of the real Michael Jordan. I liked that because it's just going to be distracting to try to find an actor to be Michael Jordan. But I totally agree that it's such an interesting, like, if it had been told from a totally different point of view, like, I don't care about Matt Damon. I just don't. I would care more about the shoe designer in the basement. I would care more about Ben Affleck as the owner of Nike. If we had, I definitely care more about Chris Tucker. I definitely care more about Viola Davis. But for some reason, we went with Matt frickin' Damon.
The movie was about how a bunch of white executives were totally right the entire time.
Yeah.
And were completely infallible and were never wrong. And
yeah, that's true. That's true.
And it's like, and then at the end, and how willing and how completely willing they were to almost blowing this entire thing up because they didn't want to have an 18, 19, 20-year-old Black man have royalties for his own shoe and stuff. Like, it almost, they so desperately want Michael Jordan the entire fucking movie. And then at the very end, when Viola Davis is like, yeah, well, you need to pay us $1 per shoe or whatever.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, no, we can't do it. Like, that's the interesting thing. They're the fucking villains. They're the fucking villains here, and it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't play that way. And I don't know. I really didn't like this movie. It was really boring, and I think it like makes the wrong people into the heroes.
Yeah, I think that's valid criticism, but that doesn't take away from the fact that I enjoyed watching it.
Very well acted.
Yeah, very well
acted. Viola Davis is great. Chris Tucker is great.
I like seeing Ben Affleck put his little footsies on the table.
Yeah, the guy who plays the sneaker designer is wonderful, steals the show.
He's so good. I was like, I need more of this character. I also learned something, and it's very sad. I had no idea, because Michael Jordan's dad in the movie is also fabulous. He's just like such a kind, like, chuckling dad character. And then they show, I didn't realize his dad was shot to death. And they don't give any other information.
His dad was murdered in the mid-90s, possibly over Michael Jordan's major gambling debts.
So
Michael Jordan,
I don't
know, huge gambler, loves to gamble.
I don't know that.
Like, there's a whole separate movie. Oh, there is a documentary, The Last Dance. Jam? You should watch that.
Oh,
not Space Jam.
Well, I didn't know if maybe they made a little nod to it in Space Jam, his other movie.
Hey, what's up, Doc? Your dad is dead.
No, I meant the gambling addiction.
No, well, so that's what, like, that's the when. Okay, 1994 happens. Watch the documentary. Yeah. It's so good. 1994 happens. The Bulls win their third straight championship. He's burnt out.
Right.
Michael Jordan is burnt out from winning. Underneath all this, he is a major gambling addict. And his father is murdered at a rest stop in North Carolina. They kind of don't know who does it, but there's like a little bit of like, is this kind of tied to like lots of his kind of gambling stuff? Gambling stuff. This is 90s gambling stuff. It's tied to the mob and all sorts of shit.
Oh, so sad.
His dad dies. And then on top of it, like, was he gambling on stuff? And then he retires and goes to baseball. There were two factors that led to him going to play baseball, which is part of the plot of OG Space Jam. There's two factors of that lead him to sort of play baseball. His dad dies and he's like depressed and sad and then burnt out emotionally. And then also, like, was there a secret wink wink agreement between him and David Stern, the commissioner of the NBA, that's like, hey man, we kind of caught you doing all this gambling stuff, but you're also the literally the most famous person on the planet right now and the most famous basketball player. We can't like suspend you, but like, what if you retired for 2 years? So
wow.
This is Space Jam. This is the Matt Damon, Ben Affleck. You guys, your next movie needs to be behind the scenes how Space Jam was made and the heartbreaking emotional factors that led to that.
Yeah, I had no clue. Is that in Save the Last Dance?
Kind of.
Which I'm realizing is a movie with Julia Stiles.
It's in The Last Dance, the like 10-part documentary, which is really excellent.
Okay. Wow. Guys, Brett hit his stride because he got to talk about basketball history. You know, we never know what we're going to talk about in our Big Brother Survivor podcast, but we got to hit up Michael Jordan's gambling addiction this time. And we don't even have time for me to give my review of the Apple TV Plus show, The Last Thing He Told Me, starring Jennifer Garner.
Oh my God. This is sad. Yeah, this is sad. We had to break up Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck again. Those two kids can't get it right.
Oh, no. But I did love that. Guys, you can always send us questions and comments in our Discord and at Hey Julie BB on Twitter and Hey Julie Big Brother at gmail.com.
I checked it.
Nothing. Goose egg. Yeah, you can check out Air on Prime. Also, just so everyone knows, Air is like, I think one of the most expensive, like Prime spent so much money on Air. There's this really fabulous long read article about Prime and how behind the scenes, it's just like all of these tech streamers, they're just throwing money at talent. And I think Air was one of the most, like they really spent.
Which is crazy because 95% of this movie takes place in like two conference rooms.
Yeah, exactly.
They spend it on the actor. Like the actors are amazing, are really good in this movie and they have great actors in it. There's also, as I mentioned before, an expensive 80s needle drop every 45 seconds in this film.
Yeah.
It's an expensive movie, but like it's weird because it felt very much like a COVID cheap movie. Because it did feel somewhat cheap because you're like, oh, we need to get Michael Jordan. How are we going to do that? We have to go to this conference room down the hall from the other one that we're in right now. So there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
And a lot of Matt Damon no driving. Time. And he's like, I'm in North Carolina right now. But it's literally a highway. It's just like anywhere. Like,
yeah.
There's just a lot of him driving and like clearly like a VFX like Matt replacement of like, well, it's a country road now. It's a mountain road now. And it's like the same road. Whatever.
Thank you all so much for listening. We will be back, right? Next week.
Next
week. Finale.
Finale of Survivor. We might spend more than 5 whole minutes talking about Survivor next week.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Or we might not watch it.
I'm going to watch it.
No, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. Thank you all again. And we'll see you next week. Bye, Jeff.
Bye, Jeff.